And we will read from the verse number 28. John's Gospel, chapter 18, we're going to read from the verse number 28. John 18, verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Amen. We know that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Let us seek the Lord for prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you. We thank you for this service. We thank you for the praises. We thank you for the giving of your people. We thank you for your word above all things. And as we consider your word now and consider this aspect of Christ's life, we pray that our hearts would be touched. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen and amen. The verse 37 of John chapter 18 reads, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Today we're going to think about the king in Pilate's judgment hall. It is said that the Jews, they gave the world religion. That the Greeks gave the world words. But the Romans gave the world law. And of course, there is a lot of truth in that. Because the Jewish religion, the Jewish faith, it is the most ancient of all religions and faiths. And indeed, in its Old Testament form, it does lay the basis for New Testament Christianity. The Greeks were great people of learning, great people of logic, debate, literature. But the Romans did something. The Romans introduced a common form of law into the world. And Roman law was very regimented. And Roman law produced a degree of civilization in the world that there never was before. And here in John chapter 18, we have the Lord Jesus Christ being tried by Roman law. But he is not just tried by Roman law, but he is also tried by Jewish law, because he was brought before the Jewish Sanhedrin. And that represented the law amongst the Jews. And they could try individuals, but there was one thing they could not do. They could not pronounce a death sentence. Execution had been removed from them by the Romans, and only the Romans could produce a death sentence. So Christ was tried, and he was found guilty by the Jews. But he had to be found guilty by the Romans as well if he was to die. And ultimately, it would be the sentence of Roman law that would send the Lord to Calvary. But of course, it was a total perversion of justice, and it was a perversion of Roman law as well. What was he accused of? In Luke chapter 23, in the verse 2, we have the triple accusation that the Jews brought against the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever they brought him to Pilate, they said, "We found this fellow perverting the nation." That was the first thing, perverting the nation. Forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, that was the second thing. And the third accusation was that he himself is Christ, a king. And it would seem that Pilate was not particularly interested in the first accusation, perverting the nation, or in the second accusation, forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, but he was particularly interested in the third accusation, that Christ declared himself to be a king. And it was this that Pilate focused upon, asking the question in verse 33, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And why was Pilate particularly interested in this? Because in making himself a king, he made himself above Caesar. And that gave Pilate a pretext for having the Lord executed, that he had, in effect, rebelled against the rule of Caesar. Pilate is the representative of the Roman emperor. He is the representative of the most powerful man in the world. And before the representative of the most powerful man of the world, Jesus Christ, he stakes his claim to be the king. And as Pilate asks the question in verse 37, "Are you a king?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And here we have the Lord's confession in Pilate's judgment hall. It was the Apostle Paul who said in 1 Timothy 6, verse 13, "I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession." And here we have the Lord's confession. The confession that he indeed is the king before the representative of the Roman Caesar, the king in Pilate's judgment hall. The first thing we're going to notice about this is the splendor of his person. Notice, please, the question that Pilate asked, and how the Lord responded. "Art thou a king then?" And Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king." Regarding the splendor of his person, we notice first of all dignity and serenity. Whenever you think of what had just preceded, the events of that morning when the Lord was arrested, that terrible night when he was tried before the Jews, it was a night of mayhem. The mob coming into the quietness of the garden, taking Jesus away. Judas coming stealthily and treacherously forward to plant the traitor's kiss upon his cheek. The disciples scattering and fleeing in terror. And then Peter following afar off to the judgment hall. And there he denies his Savior with oaths and curses. You think of how they had beat Jesus and how they had brought the most dreadful charges against the pure and spotless Son of God. And then he was taken through the streets of Jerusalem and brought at the early hour to Pilate, the judge, and presented before Pilate. He was facing the cross. He was facing crucifixion. He was facing the most fearful, the most dreadful form of cruelty, execution that had ever been contrived by the heart of man. And yet, he is a figure of calmness and peace and authority. Pilate said, "Are you a king?" And Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king." This was Christ in effect saying, "I am a king. What you say is right." In the midst of this maelstrom of hatred and cruelty and perversion of justice, Christ, he boldly stated his credentials, "Thou sayest that I am a king." But I also want you to notice the king and his kingdom. Christ had already, before this, stated what his kingdom was. And that is, of course, what drew the question from Pilate. "Thou sayest, are you a king then?" Because Christ had already stated it. He had stated it quite clearly in the verse 36. Whenever Pilate said, "Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." "I have a kingdom," he said. "My kingdom." Here was the king talking about his kingdom. "My kingdom. But it's not of this world. Doesn't belong here to Israel or to Judea. Doesn't belong to any geographical place. Doesn't belong to any ethnic group of people. Doesn't belong to those who speak a particular language. My kingdom. It's not a geographical place. It's not a place with boundaries and borders. It's not a place guarded by soldiers. My kingdom is not of this world. If it was of this world, my servants would fight for it. But my kingdom is not from hence." And here he was showing us that his kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. "The kingdom I have, Pilate, is more powerful than the kingdoms of this world. My kingdom started in the heart of God, when God chose and predestined a people to be his from before the foundation of the world. And Christ came into the world to claim these people, to establish them as a church, as a spiritual kingdom in the world. A church that would surpass the Old Testament kingdom that was Israel. You see, Israel was in its death throes here. Its death throes as a nation. Israel was fading away as a place of significance in the great spiritual economy of God, because there was going to be a new kingdom, a kingdom made up of Jew and Gentile, a kingdom with one rule, and that was the gospel, with one king, and that is Jesus Christ, a kingdom that would reach into every part of the world, a kingdom that would be bound by the eternal covenant of grace, a kingdom that would be advanced not by swords and arrows and spears and by the footsteps of soldiers, but a kingdom that would be advanced by the preaching of the gospel and by the praying of the saints of God. And this kingdom the Lord was establishing is the most powerful and long-lasting kingdom the world has ever seen, because the Romans have disappeared and many great civilizations have come and gone. Nations have become powerful and then they have faded away. But Christ's kingdom is still in all parts of the world, and in all parts of the world today, people are celebrating the fact that Jesus Christ lives and he reigns. And here we see the splendor of his person. Pilate didn't see it. But he would take Jesus, he would crucify him, he would nail him to that cross. His soldiers would do their worst to him, and then he would be taken and he would be buried. But on the third day, everything would change. And there would be no body, and they would discover no body, because Jesus Christ would live. The splendor of his person. Isn't it good that we're part of that kingdom today? That's our true identity. True authority rests with Christ. And to be part of the church is more wonderful than anything in this old world. Let's also think of the submission to his purpose. Look at what he says next in this verse 37. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. He was born to be a king. He was born to be the King of Kings. And here we are introduced to something very important. The mediatorial work of Christ. A mediator is one that stands between two warring factions and makes peace. Christ is the mediator who makes peace between us and God. And as our mediator, he fulfills three offices. He is our prophet in that he teaches us God's word. He brings God's word to us. He's our priest in that he offers himself a sacrifice for us and he offers prayers for us. But he is our king in that he reigns over us. But to be our king, he had to become a man. He must reign over us as a man, just as he must speak to us as a man, as the God-man. God and man in two natures, one person forever. He must offer himself on the cross as a sacrifice for us. He must rise again as a man for us, and he must make intercession for us at God's right hand. And he must reign over us as the God-man. And Christ reigns over us today as one who was born of the seed of David. He is the Lion of the house of Judah. And he came into this world, submitted to this purpose to become man in order that he might be our king. The great question at the very start of the story of Christ's coming into the world, the question the wise men asked, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And here we see him talking about the fact that he was born for this purpose, born to be the king. But as the king, he could only win his kingdom through the shedding of his blood, through the offering of himself a sacrifice. He could only win us, poor lost sinners, that we might become part of this kingdom, that we might have God's righteousness, by taking our guilt on Calvary's cross. He was submitted to this purpose. John's gospel talks continually about the hour, the coming hour. But now the hour had come. The hour had arrived. Over in John chapter 2, if you want to flick through your scriptures, you'll be able to pick up these references very quickly. John chapter 2, verse 4. Christ said to his mother, mine hour is not yet come. John chapter 7 and the verse number 30. He talked about the hour that had not yet come. The people tried to kill him, but it wasn't his time. The hour had not yet come. You come to John chapter 12 and the verse 21. You come to John chapter 12, and he talks about the hour in the verse 23. Jesus said, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. So the hour is now coming. The hour is getting closer. And he talks there about death, but the corn of wheat falling into the ground and dying. Then you come to chapter 13 and verse 1. It's such a beautiful verse. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. That's the king. That's the king. Loved his own that were in the world, he loved them unto the end. That's how he loves us today. The hour was come. His love would be sealed with the shedding of his precious blood. And you come to chapter 17, the verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. The hour has come. And here he is standing before Pilate. For to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. The hour had come. We see his unflinching obedience to God's purpose. Unflinching obedience. He never went back once. He never shirked from his great duty under the terms of the covenant of grace to die as the king for his subjects. You look at verse 32 of John 18. Look at what it says. You see how Pilate and the Jews, they're in the very palm of God's sovereignty. Pilate said unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. Pilate didn't want anything to do with Jesus. He tried all kinds of means to put Jesus away. Judge him according to your law, the Jews said, but he must be executed. We can't execute him. Verse 32, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spake, signifying what death he should die. It was already determined how Jesus would die. Already determined. He must go to the cross. He submitted himself to all of that. For this cause came I into the world. He faced it all for us. The submission of the king. But then thirdly, the statement he proclaimed. Notice what he said at the very end of this verse 37. That I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. He is the great witness. He's the great witness. Truth is the principal aspect of his kingdom. He reigns with truth. Pure truth. Unalloyed truth. Truth that is not alloyed with error. Truth that is characterized by light. Pure light. Truth that reigns in hearts. And those that are in his kingdom, they receive his truth. Do you see that? Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. His kingdom is a kingdom of truth. Now, this was something that was beyond Pilate. In fact, Pilate's words in verse 38 are somewhat sarcastic. What is truth? What is truth? How often is that question not asked today? What is truth? What is truth? What is fact? What can we believe? What do we believe? What should we believe? What is truth? That's the cry of the world. Every philosophy amongst men, it comes and it goes. It's like the mirage in the desert. Truth is never found until men and women come face to face with Jesus Christ and with his claims. And then we discover truth, because truth is only discovered in him. And we have his truth in the Bible. And this is why, as the Church of Christ, as those that are ambassadors for the greatest and the most powerful kingdom in the world, ambassadors of the greatest king that ever was and ever will be, as those that are ambassadors, we need a vision. There's only one message can change the world, change society, and that's the truth. And the truth will set you free. It's the truth of God. Jesus Christ came to bear witness of the Father. He is the Word, the one who declares the Father. We discover God in the Scripture. The truth of sin, that this world is a broken place, dying and perishing. Broken. Men need to hear that truth. Need to hear the truth of guilt and what sin does to them. How it destroys, how it wrecks, how it perverts. Dear friend, today, if you haven't come to Jesus Christ, you need your sin dealt with. And only the King can deal with your sin. It's the truth of redemption. That Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. It's the truth of resurrection. He didn't just die, but he rose again. And it's the truth of the second coming. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. And that's what the world's facing. The coming again of Jesus Christ. The King's return. It's the only message, because there is but one Savior. And unless this truth reigns in your heart, you're lost today. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Have you submitted yourself to the voice of Christ? He's speaking today. He's calling. The King is calling. The resurrected Lord is calling. He's calling today from Pilate's judgment hall. He's calling you with truth. You're going to give your heart to the truth. Over in John's Gospel, chapter 5, the verse 28, the King, he said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming into which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Pilate heard his voice on this day. The Jews heard his voice. Or come a day, everyone will hear the voice. Even those that have died will hear the voice. Those that have saved, they'll hear the voice, will be called to everlasting life. Those that are unsaved, they'll hear the voice as the King summons them to judgment. The voice of Christ. If you don't respond to the King's voice in this life, during this day of grace, you'll respond to the voice in that day, but it'll be too late for your soul. Oh, hear the statement. There only is one truth worth living for, and it's the truth that is in Jesus. There's only one kingdom worth saving, worth serving. It is Christ's kingdom. There's only one King that we can serve with absolute confidence, and it's Christ. Are you serving Him today? Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for Christ. We thank you for the King, for His kingdom, for the church He's establishing, the church that is growing, the church that goes into all parts of the world. We thank you for the King's claim and for the King's credentials. Help us to serve Him with our all. And for those that don't know you, may there be a turning to the King of kings and Lord of lords. Lord, be with us today as we sing this closing hymn for Christ's sake. Amen.